Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument today is Arroyo against the United States. Mr. Cole.
Please, the court. My name is William Cole, representing the government. In this case, the sole question here is whether the plaintiffs filed their federal tort claim on time. As this court knows, plaintiffs have 2 years after the claim accrues to file that claim, and we agree with opposing counsel that the date that that claim was filed, as far as the law goes, should be December 30th, 2005, when suit was filed in state court. The question then is whether that claim accrued more than 2 years, whether the claim had accrued more than 2 years before that date. And our position is, basically...
Is there evidence on this point, or you just have some theoretical conception of, I don't know, hospital infections? Anyone gets an infection, the hospital is on notice that there's malpractice, or what? I didn't see any evidence in the case.
The evidence
is... Missing something?
Well, the evidence is, Your Honor, that the parents were told upon leaving the hospital...
Yes, I know that.
Okay.
What is the evidence about what people think about hospital infections?
I don't think there is any evidence as to what they think
about...
Well,
isn't that important? I mean, you say on page, 37 of your brief... You have this remarkable statement. Reasonably diligent persons are aware that infections can be prevented, particularly in hospital settings. Now, you don't cite anything for that. Well, what's the basis for that?
I think that the government's position in this case is directly analogous to that in the Nemers case.
I don't want an analogy. I'm asking you, what is the evidence?
The evidence, Your Honor, is that in this case, the plaintiffs knew.
You're not tracking me. The plaintiffs knew that an infection had caused this terrible harm to their child.
And they knew it was when the doctors were in control.
Don't interrupt me. Would you please let me finish what I'm saying? They knew that there had been an infection in the hospital that had done terrible damage to the child. My question is, what's the evidence about what people understand to be the consequences or the causes of infections in hospitals that result in serious harm?
Our position is that you don't need
that
evidence.
What is the evidence? So there is no evidence. That's your answer to my question.
I think that's right. And there wasn't such evidence.
Look, stop filibustering me. There's no evidence, but you think you just know what people think.
No, I don't think that at all. I think, as this court said in the Nemers decision, which was authored by Judge Easterbrook,
doesn't make any difference whose name appears on a decision of this court. They're decisions of the court.
That is, and we believe that is the decision on which this court must rely.
But there are a whole bunch of other decisions, and the decisions distinguish between a medical cause and a iatrogenic cause, right?
Right.
So you have an infection which is caused by nature. And then you have the question, well, should these people have thought that if you have an infection caused by nature and it causes harm, there must be medical malpractice?
Seems like
a complete non sequitur to me. Right? People get infections, they die, and so on.
If they get infections,
you get a cold, doctors, that's an infection. Doctors can't cure a cold, right?
If they get an infection when they're under a doctor's care and they're at a hospital, then...
Now that, of course, that's one of the most ridiculous things in your brief, which is a brief completely devoid of facts of any sort. And this is your notion that somehow in hospital settings, infections are less dangerous, whereas a lot of people are terrified of hospitals because they believe, I think there may be some basis for it, that infections are more common in hospitals than out of hospitals, and hospitals can be infections can be extremely dangerous, and sometimes they can be cured, and sometimes they aren't cured, right?
We don't disagree.
Meningitis is an infection. You get meningitis in a hospital.
I'm afraid not, Your Honor. I'm afraid not. I did not. And I know that that happens.
People who go to hospital tend to die.
It does happen. But if you are allowed to wait an unlimited period of time after you've been at a hospital and you've received an infection while at that hospital and can sue at some later point about something that happened when you knew that doctors were in control of the situation.
That's begging the question. Look, was there an investigation of this failure to cure the infection in the hospital or by someone else?
Well, there were experts on both sides in this case
who
testified.
No, was there an investigation by
the
hospital?
I don't know, Your Honor.
That's important, isn't it? You don't know anything. I mean, you've done absolutely no evidentiary investigation in this case.
I don't think that it...
Why isn't it extremely relevant? Suppose there was investigation by the hospital, and the hospital decided these doctors had been negligent. Wouldn't that be extremely significant? Wouldn't they have a duty to tell these people?
That would indicate that there was something that was
hidden.
Wouldn't
they have a duty to tell, if they did an investigation and they discovered these doctors had been negligent, wouldn't they have a duty to inform the Arroyos?
I think they would, Your Honor. But that didn't happen here.
How do you know it didn't happen?
There was no evidence in the record.
Look, statute of limitation, affirmative defense. You didn't put any evidence. We don't know anything about whether there's a hospital investigation.
We know that the...
Was there an investigation by the hospital?
As I said, well, I don't know.
Why didn't you ask? Why didn't you do some factual investigation?
I can't answer that.
I think these doctors may have had a legal duty to inform the Arroyos of what had happened.
They did inform them what had happened.
No, what had happened on the part of the doctor's failure to discover this infection.
From the testimony at trial, it was clear that the doctors felt they had not done anything wrong, and the government's experts indicated that to be the case as well. It was that decision, though, that was decided against the doctors and against the government. But it was close. Let me say that
The Arroyos had no reason to think that anything wrong had happened.
Oh, I think they did, Your Honor.
Why?
Very clearly.
A lot of infections can't be controlled by doctors.
This was an extraordinarily serious infection.
And that's true of a lot of... I mentioned meningitis as an example.
And if someone comes into a hospital with a broken arm and comes out suddenly with meningitis, I think that that person should probably investigate to see whether something happened at the hospital, and if it
expert. She was told she brought the infection into the hospital.
She
didn't get the infection in the hospital, did she?
She didn't get the infection,
no,
but her son did.
No, so your meningitis example is no good.
The testimony from Carlos Arroyo, the father, was, did they tell you how Christian got the infection? Yes. How? He got the infection from his mom during birth. During birth means right there at the hospital. And before my time runs out, Your Honor,
Of course he got it during the birth. The point is she had it. She had the infection. He gets an infection from his mother. Horrible consequences ensue, as they sometimes do from infections. And she's supposed to somehow guess that hospitals are able to prevent these things, for which you provide no evidence. Now, maybe people do think that, but where's the evidence? How about some evidence?
Well, the evidence was that...
Well, what about evidence about what people believe about the powers of hospitals to cure infections that are brought into the hospital by the parents.
We don't believe that was necessary because...
Well, I think it was necessary.
Well, I understand. Circumstances of birth is what Nemers said was all you needed
to
know.
But that's wrong. That's wrong. And look, you've got cases all over the place. You have our Drazen case.
Right.
Which says you have to make a distinction between the medical cause and the failure of the doctors to prevent, to deal effectively with it. And the fact that you know that something terrible happened in a hospital doesn't mean you know that doctors could or should have prevented it.
But in Drazen, Your Honor, there was a critical fact that the plaintiffs did not know. Here, the plaintiffs had all the information they needed to know to go to an expert, and he would have told them.
No, they didn't have any information about how to prevent these infections.
If I may make just one final comment, and that is I would suggest that a very important case that this court should consider is Herrera-Diaz, a 1988 case from the Ninth Circuit, because this issue is put precisely the same way it was in Nemers.
Did they and their doctors talk in English or Spanish?
The doctors, you mean here at...
Yes.
I don't know, Your Honor. I was only...
No, you don't know anything about what happened.
Not to answer these questions. You're
all
right,
you have is some language you pick out of cases, right? You pick out of cases and see whether the language somehow can stretch over these non-facts.
What I was going to suggest, Judge Posner, was that in Herrera-Diaz, the issue that we have here was discussed not just by the court deciding the way we suggest this court should decide and the way it was decided in Nemers, but you have a dissent by Judge Norris making exactly the same points that you did here. And my point is, no court has accepted Judge Norris's views, which are the only way that this court...
I thought you were relying primarily on Kubrick, isn't it?
Kubrick is the underlying decision, but it's Kubrick as interpreted by this court in Nemers. And if you look at Nemers, the only thing there...
Well, like Kubrick says that you don't have to know there was negligence, isn't that correct?
That's right. But
well, that doesn't tell us much about this case.
No, and that's really why we don't put our primary emphasis on Kubrick, because that is a case where something affirmative was done that was not known until a late period. And once that was discovered, then the accrual period began. We don't have that situation here.
In Herrera-Diaz, the doctors told the child that... told the parents that the child... In the process of birth had sustained brain damage.
Right.
They didn't say, well, in the process of birth, he got an infection from his mother, and as a result he had brain damage. That's the difference between this case and that case.
It said in that case...
In this case, they're told that, you know, you brought it on yourself.
Didn't say that, Your Honor.
I am interpreting how it sounds to them. Since you have no evidence, I can raise...
We have the evidence.
You have no evidence. You have no idea what went on. She's told that she had an infection and the baby got the infection. That is not Herrera-Diaz. Herrera-Diaz is the child was born with brain damage.
Jaundice.
There is no suggestion in Herrera-Diaz that the parents are informed of some pre-existing condition which might have been the cause of the brain damage.
I appreciate the court's...
Am I wrong?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, and what is my mistake?
Because all you need when you are...
My mistake in my statement of Herrera-Diaz?
In Herrera-Diaz, the plaintiffs knew that their child had yellow jaundice, and yellow jaundice had led to serious brain damage. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about Fernandez. In Herrera-Diaz, it was simply
There's no
lack of
jaundice.
Oxygen.
There's no jaundice. And
no, no, there's lack of oxygen. They were said. They said.
Yeah, I know. The oxygen is the provision of the oxygen is part of the birth delivery.
Right.
It's not the mother coming in with a condition that is then transmitted to the child, which is our case.
Would you think it would be different, though, if the infection had been received from some other person in the hospital?
I'm just telling you, Herrera Diaz is a different case.
They are all different cases, but we think this is Nemers revisited. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Wilms.
Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Cole, may it please the Court. My name is Christopher Wilmus, and I represent the plaintiffs' appellees in this matter. I think that the significance of the Kubrick case is the statement there that that once the plaintiff knew that he'd been injured and by whom, that he knew enough to begin investigating his potential claim. In this case, the district court correctly applied Kubrick's holding because when the Arroyos left the hospital, they had no idea who caused their injury. Their son's injury. The only thing that they knew about the circumstances of Christian's birth.
Now, if I understand the government's principal submission correctly, everything that Mr. Cole talked about during his argument is irrelevant to the government's position. Government's position is that if you know you've been injured in a hospital, then the duty to investigate kicks in, whether or not you know anything. Right, but the fact that you know you've gotten an injury in the hospital is enough to trigger a duty to investigate. And if that's the right legal rule, then all the evidence in this case turns out to be irrelevant, or the lack of evidence turns out to be irrelevant. So perhaps we should address whether that's the right legal rule.
That's fair enough, Judge, because I agree with you that that's precisely the rule that the government is suggesting. And what I would submit is that this Court's already rejected that rule in the Drazen case. That's where the court used the ghoulish consequences language and said that not everyone who suffers pain, illness, or injury in a medical setting should be encouraged to go run out and get.
We may have an internal tension between Drazen and Nemers. I'm really interested in whether that's a good rule, not whether one panel has embraced it or another panel has rejected it or a Ninth Circuit panel has said things about it. Is that the right rule, the wrong rule, and why?
The Drazen's rule is that
forget Drazen, forget Nemers. Tell me whether it's the right rule or the wrong rule, and why.
The rule we propose is the right rule. And
ask about the rule you propose. I asked about the rule the United States proposed, and I wish you'd address it. Both sides have some difficulty, it seems, answering the questions from the bench.
Very good, Your Honor. The government's rule is the wrong rule. And the reason the government's rule is the wrong one is because we don't want to encourage anyone. We don't want to encourage that sort of litigious situation where anyone who suffers an injury immediately goes and runs to a plaintiff's attorney to talk to them about whether or not they have a potential claim.
Wouldn't run to a plaintiff's attorney. You would presumably investigate. See, if I understand the government's position, it is that on the district court's approach and yours, this lawsuit could be brought in the year 2066 if the plaintiffs said, not until 2065 did we finally learn about antibiotics. Until we subjectively understood what antibiotics were and could do, the claim didn't accrue. And therefore, right, and we never had any obligation to try to figure out what happened to our child. Right? And one has to contrast that rule with a rule that says when you know about the injury and it's associated with the medical profession in some way, that event is enough to start the duty of inquiry so that the claim isn't postponed until the end of time and it can actually be litigated while evidence can be gathered. That's what we're trying to figure out in what a right rule here is. So why would one argue for a rule that says the claim doesn't accrue till the plaintiffs subjectively learn something?
I recognize the tension that you're discussing. There's, and I believe there's a continuum of potential rules on the one hand, is the rule that whenever you learn of an injury in a hospital, your claim accrues. On the far other end is the one that Kubrick rejected, which is that your claim accrues once you learn of negligence.
Of negligence. I don't know if that's the far other end. It may be that there's a substantial overlap with what's going on here. Let me put my question in a different way. If I understand correctly, the district court's view, the claim accrues when the plaintiff subjectively comes to believe that the injury is iatrogenic, that is, caused by the medical profession. Now, if I were looking for a way to revive the position that the claim doesn't accrue until the plaintiff subjectively believes the injury is negligent, I would choose that rule, because to call the injury iatrogenic is to imply that there's a very high probability of negligence. So my worry isn't your position, the district court's position, that the claim accrues when the plaintiff subjectively knows it's iatrogenic, just the same thing as the position rejected in Kubrick, but a different terminology? That's my worry. Now, you may be able to tell me why that's not a thing I should worry about.
Well, I can tell you that the reason is because there's a distinction between a distinction between a doctor's omission and a doctor's negligent omission, and just because a doctor's omission results in injury, I would submit does not suggest negligence.
Would we call this injury iatrogenic if everybody believed that the surgeons handled this birth correctly?
If they followed the standard, if everyone agreed that the facts
were
the same.
Everyone agreed that there was no need, that it was not negligent to use antibiotics. Sorry, I hate these double negatives. Not negligent not to use antibiotics. Would we then call this injury iatrogenic?
I think that you could, Judge, because one of the causes.
You could, but would that be a normal use of that term?
You know, I'm not sure. But I think it would be, because it would cause
this is the kind of thing that was inevitable. It wasn't caused by the medical profession. That's normally what iatrogenic means. It wasn't caused by the medical profession. It was caused by the mother's Streptococcus B, and nobody could do anything about it. That's why I worry about iatrogenic, because iatrogenic means, if not caused negligently by the medical profession, it means caused by the medical profession.
I think in another way you could phrase it is by saying it could have been prevented by the medical profession, although...
Yeah, well, that's what cause implies, that there was something else they could have done differently, and this injury wouldn't have occurred.
Of course, in many cases, the fact that a doctor could have prevented it, it doesn't follow necessarily that that there was malpractice. And so okay.
We're not having any disagreement about that. Maybe this is just terminological, and my understanding of iatrogenic is not your understanding. But if I read the district court's opinion, the district court used that word to mean that the medical profession did something wrong. And that's why it looks like what the Third Circuit said in Kubrick, with just a different label. Instead of the label negligence, the district court applied the label iatrogenic, and at that point the claim accrues.
May I address the district court's ruling?
Of course.
I would disagree that the district court required evidence of negligence in determining that the plaintiff's claim accrued. In fact, the court repeatedly states that that's not the appropriate standard. It said so at page 5 of the appendix and page 18 of the appendix. And
of course, the district court did not say, I disagree with Kubrick, so I'm departing from it. The district court said, nonetheless, the claim doesn't accrue till the plaintiff knows the injury is iatrogenic. And that's, as I said, what worries me. Isn't that pretty much a synonym for negligent?
I think that the rule that I think bridges cuts the appropriate balance, in the continuum of possible rules, is the one that says the claim accrues once you learn of your injury, and that it was caused by a doctor's omission. And of course, there's plenty of circumstances where a doctor's omission is.
No, you don't
negligent.
Want to say that. You want to say if you learn of the injury and there's something suspicious about it. Yeah, well, then
there's reason.
But look, half the people who go into hospital come out worse, right? Have they all been injured? I don't understand. What would that be? What would that be about? Right?
Well, I think you're
the
right.
The point is, if the doctors don't, if there are suspicious circumstances, doesn't the hospital have to investigate? And if it investigates, doesn't it have to tell the parents what the investigation showed?
I think that that's precisely why the district court, correctly found that in this case, the parents had no reason to suspect when they left the hospital that that their son had suffered anything but a naturally occurring injury, that he acquired a blood infection, as you noted before, from his mother. And that's what they had been told by doctors, and they had no reason to suspect otherwise. And as a result, I know that I really think that this is on all fours with the Drazen case. We've got naturally occurring injury as well as one related to a doctor, and the plaintiffs didn't know about the doctor-related cause until long after they left the hospital. I see my time is up. Unless the court has further questions, I ask you to affirm the district court's judgment.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and there will be a short recess before we call the second case.